for tuning in to the Love Breezy Bree Yoga Podcast. My name is Bree, and you can find me at lovebreezybreeyoga.com. Check out the show notes for more information, including a link to my website. Thank you so much for listening. Namaste. Namaste. Welcome. 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 Yoga is a life of self-discipline built upon the tenets of simple living and high thinking. If you follow these 5 points, the 5 points of yoga, which compose a true holistic approach to our whole system of body, mind, and soul, you will gain strength and balance in the demanding, stressful world. Obstacles become stepping stones to success, and life is a school for the development of character and compassion and the realization of the divine, all-pervading self. My take on this excerpt from the complete illustrated book of yoga, written and taught by Swami Vishnudevananda. And Swami created the 5 points of yoga: proper exercise, proper breathing, proper relaxation, proper diet, positive thinking, and meditation. Swami Vishnudevananda believed that by closely observing the lifestyles and needs of people in our modern world, you can synthesize the ancient wisdom of yoga into these 5 basic principles, which in turn can easily be incorporated into your own pattern of living to provide a long, healthy, and happy life. The body is a vehicle for the soul and has specific requirements which must be fulfilled for it to function smoothly and supply the optimum mileage. The body can be compared to a car, metaphorically. In order for the car to perform its function, it requires 5 things: a lubrication system, a battery, a cooling system, proper fuel, and a clear mind and responsible driver behind the wheel. Proper exercise, asana. Proper exercise is the act of lubricating, of creating this mechanism for the joints, muscles, ligaments, tendons, and other parts of the body by increasing circulation and flexibility. Now, the fundamental difference between yogic exercises and ordinary physical exercises is that physical exercise emphasizes these, what they consider to be violent movements of the muscles, while yogic exercises promote slow and conscious movements of the body, thus avoiding the buildup of lactic acid in the muscle fibers, avoiding fatigue. Asanas. The main purpose of exercise is to increase circulation and the intake of oxygen. Now, this can be achieved by simple movements of the spine and various joints of the body, which deep breathing helps to facilitate without these violent movements of the muscles. Now, yogic exercises are in fact called yoga poses, asanas, and an asana being a steady pose. Now, yogic exercises, when done correctly, influence and positively energizes all of the symptoms of the body: the circulatory system, the muscular and skeletal systems, the endocrine system, the respiratory system, the digestive system, and most importantly, the nervous system. Spine health. Now, in terms of muscles, yogic exercises not only strengthen the muscles, but also stretch them. There is a great emphasis on the flexibility and the youth of the spine. As you know, I always tell my students you're only as old as your spine, which is a very Pilates focus or idea or concept. Now, Swami said, flexible spine, flexible mind. And I love that too, especially coming from a background in dance. Now, the correct postures are performed with awareness and concentration, accompanied by breathing and relaxation. Thus, yogic exercises affect not only the physical body, but also the astral body, the energetic body, and the mind. Now, body-mind, through the systematic and rhythmic holding of the postures, with breathing and concentration, we come to a state of relaxation in the posture, where the prana, or that chi, life force energy, is allowed to flow unobstructed through the nadis to all the organs, cells, and parts of the body, revitalizing them. Now, the body and mind are harmonized with each other, removing tension located in the different parts of the body and the mind. Also, in this process, the body and mind are put in alignment or in harmony with their ruler, the inner spirit, thus giving to the practitioner a deeper sense of well-being and meaning. Yogic asanas prepare the body and mind to be stronger for further practice of concentration and meditation. Other exercises that can be complementary to the practice of yoga are swimming and walking. You know how much I love walking. Yoga doesn't promote any excessive exercise or the kind of exercise that develops only one aspect of the body to the detriment of the other parts. Furthermore, yoga doesn't consider any exercise without awareness as a yogic exercise. Yogic postures or asanas are internally oriented, non-competitive, and meditative, promoting calmness and helping the practitioner to transcend identification with the body. This is as opposed to our over-attachment to the body and to external beauty. Proper breathing, pranayama. Yoga emphasizes breathing correctly, the full breathing of breath using the diaphragm is what's considered to be yogic. We substantially increase the intake of oxygen through deep inhalation and release the toxins appropriately through our deep exhalation. Yoga teaches us to be constantly aware of our breathing patterns and to breathe consciously in our daily life. Specific breathing techniques, pranayama, are devised to further purify the nadis, balance the breath and the energy in our system, and to store and channel the subtle energy or prana for higher purposes. The word hatha is composed of the words ha and tha, which means sun and moon, respectively. This refers to the balance between the prana vayu, the positive vital air, and the apana vayu, the negative vital air. Now, prana, that vital air in the body of the individual, is a part of the universal breath. Now, the regulation of the harmonized breath helps the yogi to regulate and steady the mind. Pranayama needs to be practiced by all serious yoga practitioners. Let me repeat that. Pranayama needs to be practiced by all serious yoga practitioners. Advanced practices need to be done only by those already practicing a pure lifestyle. And it is recommended that you put yourself under the supervision of a teacher in a pure environment, like an ashram, which we'll talk about. Now, proper relaxation, shavasana, This is the relaxation relaxation. What did I say? Techniques such as Savasana, cooling down the system like the radiator of a car. Now, when the body and mind are constantly overworked, their efficiency diminishes. Relaxation is nature's way of recharging the body. The state of our mind and the state of our body are intimately linked. If your muscles are relaxed, then your mind must be relaxed. If the mind is anxious, then the body suffers as well. There are three levels of relaxation. So we can say that there are three levels of this idea, the physical, mental, and spiritual, but there are also three levels of tension or stress: physical stress, mental stress, and spiritual stress. Relaxation is actually very scientific. Now, physical stress comes from poor eating habits, sedentary living, repetitive movements of the body, and poor posture. Modern life, especially in bigger cities, is full of stress as modern working and living conditions are full of pressure and devoid of prana and relaxation. Now, mental and emotional stress comes from a hectic lifestyle, highly demanding jobs, distractions of the mind, low vitality due to lack of prana, and negative emotions such as anger, hatred, jealousy, fear, and anxiety. Spiritual stress comes from this existential anxieties from living with questions without answers, such as what is life and death? What is love? What is the nature of our connections with God? Is there a God? Why are there inconsistencies and unrighteousness? How can one find stability in ever-changing phenomena of life? Why are we suffering from delusions? Why can't we achieve enduring peace? All of these questions bring us spiritual stressors. What is the solution? Well, it is to achieve those three levels of relaxation: the physical relaxation, mental, spiritual. Now, physical relaxation is achieved through the systematic practice of conscious relaxation, Shavasana, and correct posture, which is interesting because I think in 2 weeks or so, I am taking, as a student, a wonderful workshop about breathing and posture, and I cannot wait to share some of those ideas and concepts with yoga podcast listeners in the future. Now, a distracted mind is always anxious. So mental relaxation is achieved through correct breathing, concentration of the mind, and positive thinking. A mind concentrated on a positive object is more relaxed and recharged. So those mindful meditation practices that we've discussed and practiced on yoga podcast are so vital to this idea. Just focusing on your five senses can be so relaxing for your mental. And then, of course, spiritual relaxation. It is a deeper type of relaxation. This is when we become content. A detached witness of the body and mind. Now, Swami Vishnu Devananda states that being free from identification with the body, the mind, and ego consciousness is the only way to reach a state of complete relaxation. Being free from identification with the body, the mind, and ego. This means not identifying as anything, as male, female, tall, short, black, white, your culture, your religion, your political affiliations, being married, being single, being a parent, not being a parent, being a child, being a student, your career, even being a yogi. So are we ever truly, completely relaxed spiritually is really the question. Through this complete relaxation, however, we live in the solid present, overcome our fears of death and of the future, and welcome life's demands with strength and courage, able to guide our mind, control our desires, and choose better priorities. One of the things that I hope was a takeaway from the Ayurvedic workshops that I shared here on Yoga Podcast was that what we take in through the five senses can help or hinder our ability to be in the present. I know for me, sometimes I find myself watching things that are anxiety provoking, things that freak me out personally. And whenever we are attached to things, which is very human, by the way, you know, we can go through times in our lives of detachment, especially when we're sad. And when we are feeling very positive, sometimes that positivity comes from attachments. You know, I talk about dogs a lot because I am a bona fide animal lover, specifically in love with dogs. And I have a few of my own, and I have a puppy. And before I got my puppy, I felt very, you know, detached from things in a healthy way, even though I have other dogs and I love them to pieces. But getting this little puppy, and she was so tiny, a pound and, you know, 4 ounces kind of thing. She could fit in your hand, and it was very nerve-wracking. And as cute and adorable as she was, I wanted nothing more than her to develop her bone structure and her ability to do simple tasks on her own and be able to survive on her own. And although I'm not a parent, I started feeling this anxiety about, wow, I wonder what it feels like to be a parent and have an infant and be worried about them. And I started sending love to all the parents I knew, and including my own. And my puppy is now strong and vibrant. And she's still a puppy, and she's 7 pounds, and she's adorable. And my anxiety many times throughout the day is through the roof because I just want the best for her. And my spiritual relaxation has plummeted. And I've been working really diligently, but not enough or with enough grace and present awareness and patience and compassion to kind of, you know, reinvigorate my spiritual practices, you know, having that faith and keeping the hope and being settled. And it's very scary when you love something so much and you feel so protective of it, but it's also very smothering, and it creates an environment that, you know, you consciously are aware that you do not wish to create or be in. And most people who are aware of their anxiety and what's causing it feel the way that I'm describing. And especially if you sit with it and you don't try to mask it or ignore it or do anything to avoid it, but rather you try to go through it and learn from it and get better at managing and handling it and practicing being a student of life, then you will know how important the ideas of these relaxations and the ideas of letting go really, really is. Although, you know, it's a challenge and it's a practice and very lifelong, and it ebbs and flows. Just when you think you're living in the present and you're practicing non-attachment and your ego isn't leading your every thought, then boom, new challenges are presented and new ways to reconnect back to your practice on and off of the mat. All right. Now, proper diet. Swami believed that a vegetarian diet was proper because the correct nutrition and diet gives proper fuel for the body and the mind without creating toxins and digestive problems. Now, also we learned through the Ayurvedic workshops that a vegetarian diet may not be the only solution, as meat can be treated as medicine, very medicinal, especially if you're of a vata constitution or dosha. But the idea of a vegetarian diet is really about the idea of suffering and toxins and bringing in that energy. It's very esoteric in that way. And for many, it is linked very closely to their spiritual comfort. Now, optimum utilization of food, air, water, and sunlight is essential. There is medical evidence that a balanced diet is extremely healthy and provides everything the body needs and can be achieved by being vegetarian. The yogic vegetarian diet is sattvic, pure, and helps to calm the mind and to reveal the spirit as well as nourish the body. Now, the body needs food for two purposes: as fuel to supply energy and as materials to repair body tissues. Now, for repairing and building tissue, the body needs protein, carbohydrates, fats, and minerals. Now, these elements are found in larger proportions in vegetable tissue than in animal tissue. Nuts, peas, beans, soybean products like tofu, and milk contain protein. Wheat, oats, rice, and other grains are mainly carbohydrates. Now, all protein foods and vegetable oils provide the fats, and the main supply of organic minerals and vitamins comes from fruit and vegetables. A vegetarian diet is a natural diet, fresh and wholesome, full of fiber and alkaline in nature, energy producing and easy to absorb and to eliminate. Sattvic diet. Now, to maintain a sattvic diet, a pure diet, free from rajic and tamasic influences, avoid stimulants and depressants such as caffeine, alcohol, cigarettes, drugs of all kinds, overly spicy foods, onions, garlic, overcooked food, old food, frozen food, canned food, sodas, and processed foods, as well as all meat. Again, I implore you to learn more about Ayurveda and your doshas, but this is Swami's take, and I do want to honor that. Yogis advocate Ahimsa, the principle of nonviolence, non-injury, and respect for life. Everything our body and mind needs for growth can be provided from the vegetable kingdom. By avoiding eating animal flesh, we nourish ourselves in a natural and healthy way. Now, the vegetarian diet helps in the performance of asanas as the body and the joints become more flexible. It is a wonderful way to prevent heart disease, arthritis, obesity, and a good remedy for many chronic diseases. You can gradually change to vegetarian diet, maybe just beginning with meatless Mondays, or one meal is vegetarian, or learning how to prepare meals that are composed of only vegetarian options, but also not only being aware of what you eat, but also how you eat. Yogis promote taking time to cook, to eat consciously in a regular manner with appropriate intervals between meals to allow the digestive fire to activate and digest the food. Blessing your meals is also encouraged to sanctify the act of eating and for offering thanks to higher power, creator, your belief systems. Proper diet includes periodic fasting as well to give a break to the digestive system, purify the body and mind, and to make the mind more perceptive, more sattvic, more conducive to concentration, contemplation, and meditation. Now, as we discuss meditation, we have to add in the idea of positive thinking, as that in itself can be a meditative or mindful practice. Just as a driver of a car manages to bring himself or herself or themselves to their destination without accidents and setbacks, so the yogi learns to manage their mind and emotions in order to keep them positive at all times. Now, I don't want to get this confused with toxic positivity, where you use positivity as a form of avoidance or denial, but rather as truly having faith and hope you know, it's a logical approach to positive thinking. Positive thoughts are energizing and they facilitate growth. So the idea is, instead of saying I can't, you say I can't yet. I am afraid. I'm afraid, but I will learn so that I'm less afraid. It's not about not acknowledging your struggle, but also acknowledging possibilities and possible solutions to those struggles. And I love that that is a better way to consider it as well. It's exactly what we teach children. It's like, don't touch the hot stove. You could burn yourself. That could be seen as a very straightforward, but also very negative mindset. Like, you're teaching these thoughts to be afraid, to have fear. But it's really about having the ability to protect. So it's a different way to positively think about something. So it's like, let's not do that, but let's try this. Or let's understand the why so that it doesn't just lead itself or lend itself to just straightforward fear. When you have a positive outlook about yourself in particular, you can actually maintain a meditative life, which will ultimately lead to intuitive knowledge and inner strength. This is an idea that you are able to facilitate this growth for yourself so that the negative thoughts don't drain you or inhibit growth, but you can also protect yourself from what we like to call energy vampires. It's like being able to have that awareness as well, so that you can grow. Sometimes we can't grow if we're always in a cloudy environment. We do need the sun to shine. So those are the five ideas, the five teachings, the five points of yoga. Now let me see if I can dig a little bit deeper into a couple of ones that I wanted to. I have some notes here that I'm slowly pulling through. Gotta love it. Gotta love it. I want to talk about the science of relaxation. There's this idea that yoga teaches us the art and science of relaxation so that we can be calm and poised, right? Life has its ups and downs. You know, there's a struggle that's always happening all around us. There's this competition that we all are a part of. Rather, we realize we're in the game of life or not. We're still competing. It's like we're competing for survival. It's like the Hunger Games. And we're always looking for these ways to not be competing, right? To not be a part of this bigger problem, but rather to find our own peace and maybe even be a part of a solution. But the truth is that things are always happening around us. So there's a great deal of mental, physical strain, and it's a part of the modern lifestyle, or maybe it's always been a part of life in general, but it's unhealthy. We tend to create these artificial habits. You know, we've lost our connection with nature. We don't get out as much as we should. We don't get under the sun, under the moon, through the trees. And that's why in yoga, the more you practice asana, the more likely you are to start to become more connected to nature. You find yourself starting to want to understand the why and the how. And, you know, you become, you know, a little bit more hippie, a little bit more just maybe living in that magical space where you have this appreciation and honor of things that don't need an explanation from you. They don't need your permission to thrive. And so there's this awareness where you become in awe of that, because how amazing is that thought in itself? You don't need my permission to thrive, but yet there you are. And you're actually inviting me in to witness or be a part of that thriving nature. So needing to get out into those spaces so that you're not just living an artificial life. You know, our muscles, our nervous system has forgotten how to relax. You know, We don't know how to rest. Even when we're asleep, we're not really resting. Part of that can be mitigated or proactively challenged by prana, you know, that energy that is stored up and conserved, you know, and we get that energy by taking the moments to find mindful practices like meditation or walking through nature or many others to be able to reconnect back to self. People don't realize they're stressed until they're way beyond their limit. It's like if you're thirsty, then your body's been needing water for quite a bit of time. You know, by the time you're actually thinking about it and feeling dry mouth, it's way beyond what your body would have really hoped you would have noticed quite some time ago. Same thing with stress. You know, it shows up in insomnia, you know, having disordered eating, digestive problems, nervous tensions in the body, diabetes, obesity, autoimmune disorders, cardiovascular problems, allergies, acne, I mean, menstrual issues, just anything that's out of sync, you should take seriously. You know, one time a doctor had mentioned to me, or maybe it was a physical therapist, I'm not quite sure now, but someone in that profession and in the healthcare profession had mentioned that when your body is super gassy, you know, you need to pay attention to that because there's something happening in the digestive tract. Like food is rotting in there, so to speak. Maybe you need more fluids. Maybe you need more fiber. Maybe you need more fluids because you have too much fiber. Maybe it's even just needing more sleep or you're needing more body movement, but don't ignore it. Don't just say, oh, I can't eat beans or broccoli, although those could be causing those upsets and those issues in the body. The bigger question is, what am I not giving my body that it finds this to be disruptive, that this is an allergy to me now or an ailment to me now? Doesn't mean that you're going to necessarily resolve it, especially overnight, but it's taking that holistic approach to your body. It's not elimination, it's understanding. That's really important. It's important for the mind-body connection and even just for your own confidence in your own body. Now, when we take short breaths or we have the wrong dietary habits or we use our body inappropriately or we overexert it, then we're going to create this physical stress and also this mental stress. Mental stress is actually the main cause of physical stress. You know, negative emotional stress due to those pressures of life that we were talking about, which can be a result from many things, you know, undigested emotional experiences known as traumas, unfulfilled desires, just expectations, whatever it may be. Again, you know, that modern lifestyle type idea. And then not being connected to true unconditional love of family and friends or even of self, which unfortunately is a debt that we're all paying. This type of stress leads to negative emotions. You know, they could be short-term or long-term, and they can lead to permanent decisions when you were not in a positive space. And life events aggravate all of these tendencies, you know, rather it's losing a job, losing a loved one, whatever it may be. How do we switch to more positive habits when all of this doom and gloom is lingering? These stressful situations actually can be an opportunity for growth. You know, this is why some people are really religious. You know, having respect for religion in this respect in itself is a mindful act of compassion, because when you choose to have faith and hope, it is like you're making a choice to be in the present. And it is a healthy choice, especially if that is the fuel that you're ignited by. So, to say the least, this can be intense and it can consume a lot of our energy, all of our prana, And so we have to look for ways to really just create a tool to help mitigate the challenges that are inevitable in life. And in yoga, we call that tool meditation. I hope you saw me getting closer to this. This is very, very, very important to creating the benefits that we're all looking for when we're thinking of what we want yoga to bring to our lives. It helps us to achieve this detached and relaxed state of mind. Even if it's momentarily, it's important. Now, it's important to understand that meditation isn't a cure-all, just as yoga in itself isn't a cure-all, but it is better than nothing, right? And for many, it creates a domino effect of activities and lifestyle changes. You become grounded. You become focused inward and upward in a way that reminds you of that rootedness of a thousand-year-old tree, which is like that inward idea. And then the upward idea is that tree growing toward the sun, withstanding wind and cold and rain and snow and bugs, and provides shade and flowers and leaves and housing for bugs and animals alike. It's truly a phenomenal idea that we should take within us. Usually and ordinarily, we actually try to relax our mind, which I mentioned a little bit earlier, by escaping, creating this different type of a detachment. It's not consciously, but it's, you know, it's forced. We do that by getting into relationships, you know, maybe even doing things like excessive alcohol or drug abuse or drug use, becoming OCD, you know, non-clinically, of course, but just the idea of that. Workaholics, focused on money, focused on fame, focused on how we look externally, aesthetically. And we can sometimes bring that energy onto the mat, trying to be perfect. All of that is the opposite of relaxation, of meditation and mindfulness. It creates scatteredness. It creates this dissatisfied mind, because you're never going to get what you think you desire. It's that restlessness looking for happiness in imperfect outer objects and things. This only leads to disappointment and stress, not to peace, not to relaxation. And there's a lot of work to do. We're all constantly, consistently working. But it's just the understanding and awareness, keeping that in your forefront of your mind, being repetitive with those mantras and those intentions that will serve you when you least expect it. When you realize you went through a challenging time in your life with grace and poise and ease and relax, and with a relaxed mind-body-spirit connection, with a positive mind, with a solution. Sometimes it's in those moments that you realize, wait a minute, I just handled this scenario, this situation completely different than maybe I did with something similar in the past. I recently went through something like that where I almost was questioning my feelings about the situation, because I was still very positive and hopeful throughout it, only to realize that it was just yoga. Yoga was meeting me there, helping facilitate what I needed, that life force energy, and I had plenty of it. So I hope today's episode gives you an opportunity to think about these ideas and these concepts. You know, take what resonates, leave what doesn't, journal what causes you to feel a little bit, you know, of that discontentment, that feeling of, wait, I don't know if I liked the idea of vegetarianism as being, you know, part of the solution. Why do I feel that way? How do I feel about that mindset, that concept, that topic in general, or whatever it could have been that came up? This is a beautiful principle to include into your practice. It's totally in line with the eight limbs of yoga, of course, but it's a modern idea. The five points of yoga is a modern teaching. It is adding to those essentials of yoga practice and philosophy in a way, creating this modern yoga that we have all been presented with in the West. Thank you for listening. Please do go in peace. Namaste. I am so honored that you are listening to the Love Breezy Bree Yoga podcast. Never miss an episode. Download the free app on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Spotify, or Stitcher. Please also rate the show with 5 stars. I would greatly appreciate that. Visit me on my website at lovebreezybreeyoga.com. I include free yoga sequences every single month. You can leave a comment or message me and we can connect. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful, wonderful personal practice. Namaste.